chapter number 46. God is our refuge. God is our, what's the word? Strength. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's not just present, he's very present. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountain be carried into the midst of the sea, though its water roar and be troubled, though the mountain shake with its swelling. There is a river wade into the water. Step out a little bit deeper. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nation raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. He is with us. He is Emmanuel. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, come, come. Behold the work of the Lord. Nothing compares to his promise. Come. Behold the work of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Be still. Be still. Know that I am God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he is God. He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray that this psalm would burn deep into our heart and be there right when we need it. Come like a rushing wind. Come, light the fire again. Come like a burning flame. Have your way. Holy Spirit, awaken our hearts and our minds. May we be able to feel. May we be able to understand both heart and head. Fully surrendered to you, Lord. Have your way with us. May your word have its way with us. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Robert Morgan points out that words as robust as Psalm 46 don't flow from ordinary events. Something dramatic must have prompted the psalmist. And many people, many Bible scholars believe that this psalm was written against the backdrop of the Assyrian invasion of Judah about 700 years before Christ. In those days, a godly king named Hezekiah sat on the throne of Judah, and the prophet Isaiah preached regularly in Jerusalem. There was a sense of revival in the air, but also a sense of doom. Rumors were reaching Jerusalem of a vast empire to the east, marching slowly toward them, and it was the undefeated forces of King Sennacherib. That's a fun name, of Assyria. This invading army represented the greatest military machine the world has ever seen. And guess what? The cruelest. War was unavoidable. Defeat inevitable. And everyone knew that the Assyrians were merciless toward their victims. And the psalmist says, God is our refuge. God is our when they reached the borders of Israel, the Assyrians swarmed in like locusts. The northern kingdom collapsed, and guess what? It was destroyed forever. The southern kingdom of Judah was breached, and the forward cities fell, and the defensive perimeters crumbled, and the nation was occupied, and only Jerusalem remained, and its residents were trapped. According to the Bible, the city was surrounded like a hut in a cucumber field. That's Isaiah 1:8. Isaiah described the armies of Assyria as a flood that swirled over the land and passed through it and reached up to its neck. That's Isaiah 8:8. Sennacherib had his own metaphor for it. He had trapped Hezekiah, he said, like a caged bird. Anybody felt like that before? With victory imminent, Sennacherib sent an envoy to Hezekiah with the terms of surrender. But Hezekiah wasn't about to cave. In one of the most beautiful scenes of prayer, that's what this place is. This is a house of prayer. One of the most beautiful scenes of prayer in the Bible, Hezekiah took Sennacherib's letter to the temple, and he spread it out before the Lord, and he beseeched God for help. And this is what he said in 2 Kings 19:17-19. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian king has laid waste to these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them. They were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. But God, Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are Lord our God. And that's the night that God showed up. God turned history on its head. That evening, a lone angelic warrior descended from heaven and destroyed the Assyrian army. One night, 185,000 enemy troops mysteriously perished. And guess what? Secular historians cannot explain it. In a British museum, there are artifacts named the Taylor Prism, T-A-Y-L-O-R, if you're writing it down, Taylor Prism, P-R-I-S-M. Google it. I should have written it up there. Google it, Taylor Prism. And this is where Sennacherib wrote of this event. He never explained why he didn't take Jerusalem or capture its king or defeat the nation of Judah. It's a remarkable fact of ancient history that the steamrolling Assyrians somehow failed to capture Jerusalem or to make the tiny little Judah a province of mighty Assyria. The Jewish nation never became a part of the Assyrian Empire, which may explain partly why Sennacherib was later assassinated in his own house by his own sons. Many scholars believe that Psalm chapter number 46 that we just read was written to commemorate Judah's deliverance, and that would explain its tone and its many references. It also explains why it is powerful for you. Why it is powerful for me. If God could save Hezekiah and his city from annihilation 185,000 enemy troops slain by one angel. If God could save Hezekiah, he can surely save me. And he can save you from all our little distresses and our distractions. If a single angel could rescue a nation, think of how the Lord and his angelic hosts can strengthen you, can strengthen me. God is our refuge. God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. Oh, I love the next one. God is a river. You know, do you remember that old song? It's called There Is a River. There came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. It filled their hearts with singing and gave them peace within. The prophet gave this promise, the Spirit will descend, and from your inner being, a river with no end. Strength to strength to strength to strength to strength. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. I started a little bit low. Come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. I love that.
The second verse. Listen to the second verse. Where's my paper? There it is.
There was a thirsty woman who was drawing from a well. Her life was ruined and wasted. Her soul was bound for hell. Then she met the master who told of her great sin. And if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. It's a good, good, good one, isn't it?
I think that might be a Gaither one. Yeah.
Was it Jimmy Swaggart that wrote it? Okay. My parents used to sing that constantly. Listen, don't just wade into this river. Jump into this river. Run, run, run to this refuge. And finally, I told you I was going to preach and preach and preach, but I'm not really. I know you're smelling that food. Our ruler, the three R's, isn't that clever? Listen, we are stubborn. We want our own way. Anybody notice that about themselves? What's your biggest problem? Looking at you at the mirror every day, right? Mm-hmm. We are stubborn, and we want our own way. And some discover too late. Well, guess what? It's never too late. But some choose it. They don't want God to rule. And my heart breaks for them. And that's those one by one by one that you sang about. The only path to true freedom is letting Jesus rule. The only path to true freedom is letting Jesus rule. Be still and know. There's no magic wand. There's no perfect prayer. It's just be still. Be still and know that He is God. He will be exalted. No matter what man may do, no matter what I do, no matter what you do, God is going to be exalted. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. It's going to happen. God is exalted. I'm going to be on the winning side. I choose Jesus. There's this little devotional that I gave to all my campers who went with me to Lost Lake Camp. And time goes like that. Anybody notice that? We even have flowers up already because my tulips were coming out, so I just gave in. Spring is here, people. I don't know what's going on. It's all you people that pray against my snow. Your prayers worked this year. Is it snowing? Okay, good, okay. But it's not snowing right there. There's sunshine right there. Anyway, Lost Lake Camp's coming up again. I give out this little devotional, and Nathaniel and I have been reading it a lot. And there it had this illustration, great illustrations in there. The story is told of a great military captain. We have a military theme today. Who, after a full day of battle, sat by a warming fire with several of his officers and began talking over the events of the day. He asked, "Who did the best today on the field of battle?" One officer told of a man who had fought bravely all day and then just before dusk was severely wounded. Another told of a man who had taken a hit for a fellow soldier, sparing his friend's life, but maybe losing his own. Another told of a man who had led the charge into battle, and still another told of a soldier who had risked his life to pull a fellow soldier into a trench. That sounds like one by one by one. You know, the captain heard them out, and he said, yeah, that's good stuff, but no, I fear you're a little bit mistaken. The best man in the field today was that soldier who was just lifting up his arm to strike the enemy. But he heard the trumpet sound to retreat. He checked himself. He dropped his arm without striking the blow, and he retreated. There is so much there. That perfect and ready obedience to the will of his general. I'm telling you what, Jesus said, turn the cheek, didn't he? There's a whole lot of Christians that are trying to fight the world with the world's tools. And that's our problem today. We can't win with the world's tools. We've got to win on our knees. We need the angel to show up and take care of the 185,000. Man, I've got it. Go ahead, preacher. Did you hear what I just said? That wasn't in my notes even. Wow. Perfect and ready obedience. I met with the pastors this week in Wenatchee, which is just beautiful. There's a whole lot of communities that the pastors don't get together. And here in Wenatchee, we get together and we pray. And we fellowship. And it was a good, good time. It was a good, good time. I'm kind of jumping all over the place. That's why I have notes. It's a good, good time. But we were talking about what love really means as pastors coming together and forgetting about the things that divide us, the kingdom of God as our goal, and talking about what might bring division, what really does stand between us and some And then somebody said, well, then Jesus said, love your enemies. And how, these are our enemies and we're divided from them. How do we, and that just totally rocked everybody's world right then. Because we're all Christians fighting these battles. And Jesus said, love your enemy. So if we have decided so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so is our enemy because they do this and this and this, what do we then do? We love them. Changes everything. Upon hearing the trumpet sound, Jesus sounded the trumpet of love. He said, love, 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 love. Whether you agree or not. Noblest thing was done. He stopped, he dropped, he retreated. That's the kind of obedience that God desires, the ability to shut your mouth. That's what I want, Jesus. Our mouths are getting us in trouble. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? I'm going a little bit far with it. Love, love, love. Immediate and complete. Proverbs 10:8 says, the wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. I didn't write it up there. Proverbs 10:8. God is saying, be still and know. Pray, pray. Jesus said, if you do anything as a church, let me turn over your tables. You need to be about prayer. 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 We're about dessert. Somebody turn over those tables. Don't do it. You'd be in big trouble. The wise in heart, Proverbs 10:8. The wise in heart accept command, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. Go on social media for a minute. Chattering fool. I have played the part of the chattering fool. Anybody else? Oh, to truly know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ruler, immediate and complete, continuous, increasing intimacy, sensitive to the Lord in every little way, as my refuge, as my river, as my ruler. Lord, what should I say? Lord, shut my tongue. Lord, how can I love? Everything changes if love is at the center. Would you do this week? This is your homework. If you haven't written it down yet, would you write down those R's? Refuge, river, ruler. If you haven't written it down, and would you pray through it this week? Just pray through it. Pray through Psalm 46 and say, Lord, I need you to be my refuge. Lord, I need you to be that river that never runs dry so that I can be filled with your love, filled with your love, filled with your love. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter what people are doing at me. I can love, 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 love because I'm sitting in your river. Oh, man, this is good. And Jesus be Lord. Jesus rule. Be master. Be king. Rule. Rule. I really am going to close with this. I promise. I'm not a lying preacher that says I'm going to close and then doesn't. Or maybe I did just a minute ago, didn't I? Smells like potluck. February 8th, 1750. Anybody live in 1750? February 8th, 1750, an earthquake rattled London. And it terrified the whole city. Its inhabitants were struck with fear. People ran into the streets. They were afraid of being buried alive in their swaying homes. A month later, evangelist Charles Wesley, anybody studied him at all? Was beginning an early morning sermon when another earthquake, a far worse earthquake, struck while he's preaching. Man, he's louder than me. Worshippers panicked. They were afeared. They were afraid. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. But their church was afraid. They were sure the building was about to collapse. People were screaming. Children were crying. And Charles Wesley had the presence of mind to grab his Bible and turn to Psalm 46 with its dramatic imagery. He later said that God filled his heart with faith, and he filled his mouth with the words to calm and to comfort every listener. Lord, fill our hearts and mouths with Psalm 46. Let's go there again. Once you've found it, I'd love to stand to your feet. One more time, Psalm 46. God is our refuge. God is our strength. A very present help in trouble. Somebody say it. We will not fear. Say it. We will not fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountain be carried into the midst of the sea. Makes me think of what happened recently. What was that little town where the mountain was carried? Oso, remember that? Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountain shake with its swelling, God is my refuge. God is my strength. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. Oh, shout unto God. The holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nation rages. The kingdoms move. But God utters his voice. God utters his voice. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. We need some melting. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, come, behold the work of the Lord. He has made desolation in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Be still, be still, be still. No, he is God. He will be exalted among the nation. He will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still. Let's just take a moment and be still. Be still. God, be our refuge. God, be our river. God, be our ruler. It can happen in this moment for somebody. Maybe there's somebody in here that doesn't know Jesus. Be still. Be still. Call on Jesus. In this moment, ask Jesus to be Lord. Ask Jesus to be ruler. Call on Jesus right now in this moment. Be still. We are your church. We are your sons and daughters.